chief market economist at Spartan Capital, who rejoins us here on Business for Breakfast. Peter, good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Good morning to you.
And thanks for coming on. So big picture, what'd you see Friday with this green? And then we got more or less, I mean, it's pretty tepid morning to start things off in the pre-markets. What are you noticing?
Well, yeah, I just think, you know, look, earnings are basically the main topic of focus for investors right now. And, of course, today we'll be waiting for Google's earnings after the close. And there are other key earnings as well. But I think, you know, today and tomorrow are two crucial days in the sense that we have some pretty big names coming out. Apple tomorrow, Amazon, and General Motors, along with Merck and Pfizer. So there's a host of earnings reports coming out with between today and tomorrow. And so, you know, we did hear over the weekend Secretary of the Treasury Mnuchin, who basically said, you know, the talks are in the final stage. And so, you know, that gave the market a little bit of a pop real early in the morning, but then we saw the futures turn somewhat negative. And I think, as I said before, the focus remains on earnings. And so today we had what I would say pretty good macro news so far, even though personal income did not match our expectations and certainly not street expectations. But if you looked at the personal spending, it was up 0.9%. That was much higher than we were looking for and higher than what the street was looking for. And so that's good news because if investors continue to spend, obviously, you know, maybe that 3.2 first quarter growth that we saw may not be sustainable at that level, but certainly between 2.5 and 2.75, which would be pretty good. And then another important factor to look at is the PCE price index. It basically was flat on the month, for the year up 0.6%. Certainly not a problem for the Fed, and the Fed looks at that index with great concerns. And so this is not a concern now for the Fed. Inflation is not a problem.
Well, one thing that goes to your point about how earnings are the big focus is on Friday, for example, we saw a solid GDP number. Gross domestic product was up 3.2%, well above consensus estimates of about 2.5%. And yet the markets, you know, for a while were a little, you know, rockier, and then eventually they closed up, but not by a significant amount.
No, but we did see NASDAQ and the S&P close in new with new record highs.
Very true.
But I think, you know, that, like I said, you know, by the end of this week, we'll certainly have a major grip on the earnings season, which, you know, so far is not indicating an earnings recession. I think that's, you know, all but faded. And as I said, by the end of this week, even by Thursday, actually, we'll have in most of the S&P 500s and that is the, industrials, all of the industrials in and in most of the S&P 500s that are key market mover indicators, and referring to earnings, obviously. And, you know, I think we will probably conclude and say, hey, it wasn't a bad earnings season. And so that's a plus for the stock market. And then, of course, you know, the next major hurdle is the trade talks. And as I've been saying all along, I do expect some sort of an announcement. What kind of announcement? I think that's left up for grabs just now. But the key is if we can diminish the effects of tariffs and the trade war, obviously, I think that would be, you know, a plus for the market. So
sure,
if you come out of this week with, or within the next couple of weeks, if you come out of the month, let's say, with a trade agreement and an earnings season that wasn't all that bad, that tells me that the market is probably going to go higher.
Well, and not only that, Peter Cardillo, but if you look at it big picture as well with the strength of the economy, I mean, a lot of folks have been concerned that a recession was impending, and yet it really doesn't seem like that. So if you don't have an earnings recession that seems to be impending, and you don't have an economic recession that seems to be impending, then both of those things could give a boost to investor sentiment, I would think.
Exactly, you know, and so I think, you know, May and June could be fairly good months for the market. Then, of course, you go into the summer months where you have, you know, somewhat of a slowdown. Although volume has been rather slow in the past couple of weeks, but, you know, it's very notorious to see the market behave, let's say, not so hot, not so cold, just perhaps
Goldilocks.
Higher trading range,
right.
You know?
Well, one thing, too, to note with regards to, since you mentioned trade, and that is the USMCA, so I call it the USMCA agreement, but the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, this one before Congress, now they just got the International Trade Commission report, I think earlier last week, showing modest economic growth and improvements in terms of job numbers expected over the next, 6 years or however much. But the big question is whether or not this is going to get passed. There are indeed questions about whether it will get passed through the House. And then you have Chuck Grassley, one of the leading senators in the United States Senate, saying, look, he supports the USMCA, but President Trump has got to get rid of the steel and aluminum tariffs, particularly on Canada and Mexico. He wrote that in an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal over the weekend. So what are your thoughts on the USMCA component to all this?
I think that's going to be a bit of a problem for the House. We know that. That's nothing. That's not a new revelation, obviously. But, I think that whether or not it gets passed, I think the key stays on the tariffs, the trade war. That's key.
Well, but the big question, Peter, though, is if it doesn't get passed, if President Trump actually makes due on his threat to withdraw from NAFTA, that would be significant and not in a good way.
It would, but... I think the president would have to rethink that because if he did, then we could be headed for a recession. And look, I don't think right now the president is in any position to put himself behind the egg bowl, so to speak, because his political woes, and if all of a sudden he would pull out of NAFTA, that could be, could indicate recession may actually happen in 2020. And if that would be the case, then, you know, from a political standpoint, he has committed suicide.
Mm.
So I don't think he's going to do that. He'll talk about it. Yes, of course, he'll talk tough about it. But will he pull out? I don't think so, because I think, corporate America certainly would not stand for that.
Right.
And so from a political standpoint, I don't think that, it would be suicidal for him to do that.
I want to ask you about the bond market. 2.948% is that's the 30-year. Whoops. The 10-year yield at 2.529%. 2-year at 2.304, both of them are rising a little bit. In 3 months, still where it was on Friday at the close, 2.423%. What are you noticing happen in the bond market?
Well, it's basically, look, there was a time there when we all thought that perhaps yields were going to drop down to 2, and they were flashing recession. The 2-year note versus the 10-year note would probably continue to narrow, but obviously that's reversed itself because of some of the good macro news. But and in fact, I'm quite surprised we're not at 265 or 270, but the market seems stuck in here, and I think the market wants to get through the trade talks, and then after that, depending how the macro news is, I don't think we're going any lower, we probably are going to go back up to around that 275 area if we do get a trade deal. So I think it's just right now in a pause, and I don't believe that it was ever signaling that the Fed was going to lower rates. You know, yes, a pause, which they announced, but if these numbers hold up, if spending holds up and GDP can come in between 2.5% and 2.75% over the next two quarters, which would probably be an average of 2.5% for the year, I doubt very much that the next move is going to be on the downside. I think it will be to the upside. So while they haven't mentioned the pause, I think that, you know, the numbers improving, even though there's no inflation, you know, that's key. I think the Fed is not going to risk it. It would be too risky for them to begin cutting rates when you have a growth at 2.5%.
Well, not only that, Peter, but if we look at the long run, we're already not going to see much more of an instance of rate increases moving forward into the future. So to reduce rates now would basically be to reduce rates out into perpetuity.
Exactly. And so I think they just...
Sure.
Best case scenario, I'll say, Pat, but I think there's that possibility that, as I said before, if the numbers continue to improve, with or without inflation, there's a chance for one more rate hike.
Sure. Let me ask you one final question before we let you go, Peter Cardillo, Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital. Oil, $63.13, down a little bit. Now, President Trump, I'm sure, will be, if he hasn't already, taking some credit for this because he called OPEC and said, you got to cut prices. But what do you think is really going on there real quick?
No, I don't believe that one iota. He may have called them. I don't know. According to the Saudis, they were in contact. No, the market doesn't pay attention to that. Yeah, it has a 1 or 2 day reaction, but then after that it comes back. I think what happened is, you know, we really went up sharply once the government announced that they were not going to honor the waivers anymore. And so we saw Brent actually get up close to 75. We saw WTI get close up a little over 67. So the market had a big run-up, and I think what happened here was it was a technical reaction. The market began selling off when we got the oil inventories data, which obviously was somewhat mixed, and so traders began selling it off. But I think the worst of that decline is over. I mentioned that this morning in my commentary, where I said there's pretty good support levels around the 62.75 versus WTI. And in fact, it looks like we've bounced off that. We were down about 40, 50 cents earlier in the session, and now we're down about 17. So I think the worst is over for that. Now, that doesn't mean that OPEC is not going to try to fill that void. I think they will. But I don't think they will go back to levels, that is, the pre-deal levels. So they're not going to let this opportunity pass them.
Sure.
They need, you know, the market has rebalanced itself. They need to keep prices around these levels. And so, you know, the administration could do all the talking they want, but the market really doesn't pay attention to that. It may have at the beginning, you know, but if you go back and you look every time the president made a comment about it, yes, the market sold off, but it came roaring back. So
sure.
I think it's all about supply and demand.
All right, Peter Cardillo, Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital. Always great to check in with you, sir. Thanks for joining us this morning on Business for Breakfast.
My pleasure.